And we're back with What's Ailing America, where our answer today is dangerous diagnostic tests. But I hope you heard that IRN news break about this defense minion who is spending thousands and thousands of dollars for his wife to be brought to spa treatments and things of this nature on your dime. What's it going to take, people? He's facing demotion? Oh, really? Why not theft? Whatever. It's just mind-boggling how these minions get away with what they do. Okay, we have a caller from 804. Are you just listening, caller? I guess so.
Okay, let
me get back to what I was talking about before the break, and this is the diagnostic test involving x-rays, especially CAT scans, which have a radiation dose equivalent to 800 chest x-rays. Okay, that's to begin with. That's, you know, obviously a very high risk of cancer, and I have had many clients with cancer come to me, you know, to get protocols to reverse their cancer, and it's the norm for them to tell me, oh, my doctor does CAT scans on me every 3 months just to monitor, you know, the effects of the chemo or the radiation or whatever. Insane! Okay, you already have cancer, and now they're giving you the equivalent of 800 chest x-rays. Oh, but it gets worse. We now need to talk about the dangers of the contrast agents that they use to visualize the vascular system during CAT scans and also MRIs and coronary catheterizations and any tests that they do on you where they want to see what the blood vessels look like. They use what they call contrast agents. Most of them have iodine in them. And regardless of the claim that serious side effects are quote-unquote rare, as with all drug reactions, side effects are underreported. And, of course, if it happens to you, it is irrelevant how many others have been affected. And, in fact, when I was an x-ray technician, I worked in what's called special procedures for years before I eventually went into ultrasound. When the patient signing their quote-unquote informed consent, you know, they may tell them that there's a risk for, you know, a coronary cath. They put a big, huge catheter into your groin, and they may tell you that there's a risk you're going to get a gigantic blood clot there and things of that nature. I never heard any patient be told that there's a risk they will end up with renal failure. And in fact, it was pretty comical. At one of the hospitals I worked at, it was like an inside joke. There was a husband and wife team. One of them was a cardiac cath doctor, and the other one was a nephrologist who deals with renal failure. So the cardiac cath doctor would, you know, give them a little extra contrast media, especially if they don't tell them they need to massively hydrate after the test, i.e. drink a lot of water. Then the patient would get renal failure, and then, you know, the wife would come. Oh, I'm a nephrologist. Let me help you with your renal failure. This is what's going on, people. So in what I've seen in the past 15 years, the most common cause of renal failure is autoimmunity from vaccines. And there's all kinds of autoimmune types of renal failure. And, of course, they never tell the person, well, you have renal failure because you develop antibodies against your own kidneys. Can be any part of the kidney. And that's from your vaccines. Of course, that will never come up. But what will happen is that eventually they will, you know, find that their renal function is decreasing by the BUN and creatinine they're checking for in the blood. There's also a 24-hour urine test where they can calculate how well your glomeruli are filtering your blood to make urine. And they will find that the renal function is going down. And then the two most common tests they will do is one, a renal biopsy. They will stick you on a table, face down, stick a gigantic, it's called a trocar, it's a huge biopsy needle. They will stick it into your kidney, and they will take a nice piece of kidney, and they will put it under the, you know, the microscope, and they have different ways that they can test for the autoimmune reaction. And in almost all cases, they will find that, yes, this is an autoimmune case of renal failure. And, of course, they'll never tell you where it came from. No, 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 because they pretend they don't know. But what the other test they will do after they find that you have impaired renal function is they will send you for a radiologic study of your kidneys using contrast media. And this is the equivalent of sending a person with chest pain for a stress test, because the person already has compromised renal function, so they're going to end up with renal failure after being injected with these dangerous contrast agents, which are used for both MRIs and CAT scans, and this results in the necessity of dialysis or a kidney transplant. Once again, more customers for the medical mafia. Okay, we have a caller from 336. Are you there, caller?
Yes, hi, Dr. Carly. It's Kim right up the road from you.
Yes.
Kim. I wanted to call. I couldn't let this show go by without making some kind of contribution, and I would just like to state to people out there that my husband, Mike, is doing Dr. Carly's protocol, and he's doing so well. And, you know, if people have any fears or reservations about doing it, you better have more fear when you enter into the doctor's office in the hospital, because what you get is a medical merry-go-round, and that's it.
Or worse. Or worse, you get damaged from what they do to you. And I want to thank you for calling and saying that. And let me also thank you. Kim is one person that sent me a contribution. I haven't had a chance to write to you, Kim, to thank you, but I wanted to let you know I received it and I really appreciated it. You know, these are the things that make me feel like my work is appreciated, especially when people call in and give testimonials, because, you know, I wouldn't be doing this if it didn't work. But it is really amazing how many people, you know, they're in this box of insurance and they're like, oh, wow, well, you know, my insurance doesn't cover this, so let me keep going to the devils. And they get on the go ahead.
And that's the thing. Well, my husband has, you know, insurance through the state of North Carolina, but the medical field offers no alternative for his problems. Mike has skin cancer, and he also had diagnostic imaging of his brain when he was in the hospital for a panic attack. And he had, you know, all these little things they call foci of abnormal signal on his paraventricular and subcortical white matter, which, you know, it didn't mean much to us when they showed us that report, but, you know, that's the road leading to MS. So we knew that we had to ask, because there's nothing that they have to offer except drugs. It's just going to make you sicker and sicker and produce all these byproduct symptoms. So,
well, not only that, if I could... I just want to comment on this, Kim, because, you know, it never stops amazing me the things that I hear from my clients. And, you know, you had mentioned that, you know, the main reason, since you mentioned what's going on with Mike, you know, so you put it out there, he has skin cancer. He had so many lesions all over his body, and he's really doing extremely well by doing what I teach people how to do. But what amazed me is that you just mentioned this imaging test as an aside. Oh, we were told that he has foci, which obviously that's demyelination. That's from the vaccines. And what's self-evident by them just basically telling you, oh, don't worry about it. You know, we see this quite often. What they're going to do is let it progress to full-blown MS, to where he can't see, he can't walk, he's in a wheelchair or whatever, and then they're going to use their drugs on him. That is evil.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, well, you know, with him having state insurance, he doesn't go to the doctor. It's ridiculous. I just have catastrophic, so that if I'm, you know, say I break leg skiing or I'm hiking and there's a rock slide or I need stitches, I just keep that. It's pretty cheap. And I haven't been to the doctors in over a decade, and I don't really intend to ever go unless it's, like I say, an emergency. I need stitches for a bone set.
Right. And, of course, if you do go, you'll have Mike there guarding you 24/7, because he's already woken up and realized what the white coats are up.
Hopefully, you know, I was in that years ago. I had an ulcer. I didn't know what was wrong with me. I just hit the floor I was at home and I just hit the floor. I had pain so bad that, you know, I felt my guts were just coming right out of my stomach. And they put me in the hospital for a week, and they really didn't do anything except put me on morphine and for the pain. And in the middle of the night, on like the third night that I was there, I had this nurse come in with a syringe. And luckily, I wasn't out of it. I was just sleepy. But I said, "What's that for?" And she said, "This is your hepatitis C vaccine." And I said to her, "I'm not in here for hepatitis. I'm in here because I have a stomach ulcer." And she looked at the chart, and you know what she said? "Oh, I'm so sorry. This is the wrong room." Well, had I not have been level-headed enough and cohesive enough to know this, I would have gotten that, and God knows what that would have done to me. So, I mean, you really do. You need to have a guard if you're in a hospital 24/7.
Yes, you do. Okay, if you can hold on, Kim, I want to ask you a couple more questions. We're going to a break, a short break. Absolutely. We'll be right back, folks. Stay tuned.
Sure.
And we're back with What's Ailing America, where our answer today is dangerous diagnostic tests. We have the wife of one of my clients on the phone, Kim. And Kim, I just wanted to ask you, when you were in the hospital for a week, what diagnostic tests did they do on you to diagnose your ulcer?
Well, just about every stomach test you can imagine, where I drank something called Pluto. It was like Pluto water. It was a very salt water. I had to drink a gallon jug within an hour so that they could do the lower part of the stomach area, like the duodenum and jejunum. That's where they had found my ulcers at. I had many of them. But I had to do that for testing. Then I also had to drink the milky stuff. What was that called? That was like
barium.
Barium. I had to do that, and it was funny because when I was in the department to do that within the hospital, she said, "I hope you brought a magazine, because once you drink it, it will take anywhere from 4 to 8 hours until we can image the results of what's going on in the stomach." And I told her, I said, "I have an extremely fast, you know, transit time. I doubt it will take an hour." She just looked at me and she says, "I don't think so. That would be really rare." Well, anyway, after I drank it, 45 minutes later, it had already gone all the way through me, and they ran the test. And the outcome was that I had, about 4 to 6 ulcers in the duodenum and the jejunum, about the size of your fingertip. So I spent a week in there just to be told that. And I really, like I said, I didn't have anything. They had me on a morphine drip for pain because it was so severe. Especially for the first 3 days, I was in agony. I mean, that makes childbirth look like field day, you know.
So they didn't do an endoscopy on you of your, you know, stomach?
I had all that done. I had it from both ends. It was horrible. It was just horrible. I had all that done. And when I ended up out of the hospital after a week, my internist had put me on Prilosec. But then he called me back in and he said, "I want to take you off of that, and I don't want you to take anything." He said he gave me these little pills. In fact, you can get them over the counter for like stomach upset, but these are higher dose. So I took those. He said, "Take these if you ever feel this feel," because you can tell when the feeling comes on, it just feels like your guts are just going to drop right out of you. I can't even explain it. It was so painful. But I only had to take them a few times within a year if I felt that coming on. And usually it was when I ate out. And I really think I was having a bad reaction to MSG. I really do.
Very, very well could be, yes.
Yeah, because I know that if it's in the food, I really have a reaction to it. And if it's just totally clean and organic, I'm fine.
And of course, the reason
11 years
ago. The reason they kept you in the hospital for a week is because basically they had an excuse to do so. They needed to fill the bed. I mean, obviously, you could have been sent home with pain medication. Giving you morphine occasionally is no reason to occupy a hospital bed, not to mention the fact that you're, you know, basically exposed to the superbugs in the hospitals and the medical mistakes that are constantly made, like that nurse almost made when she was going to give you a hepatitis B shot, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, so you've lived it, you've learned, and this is how we all wake up. You know, and that's why people really do need to guard their loved ones when they're in the hospital, because it's one of the most dangerous places you could be.
Absolutely. Absolutely it is. But I'm just so glad that Mike is doing this protocol, because I'm sure as a lot of married people know, it's hard sometimes to get a man to even go to the doctors, which that's a good thing, but to try to get them to take care of problems before they become too chronic is sometimes hard to do. Don't think about doing it. Just do it, you know. You have to change things. You know, in your life, you have to change things, but that's good. I mean, he's eating organically now, and he's following all the rules, and he's really never looked better than he did. He looks fantastic, and Mike and I are amateur bodybuilders, so our health is very important to us.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a trainer at a gym, so I don't want to live in a state of dis-ease.
Right.
I'm healthy without having to go to some, medical merry-go-round that offers you absolutely nothing. Death.
Right. Well, I'm sure one of the things that really scared him was seeing more and more skin cancer lesions popping up on him. And of course, if you go to the White Coats, the first thing they're going to tell you, oh, you better use lots of sunscreen, because obviously you're sensitive. And skin cancer comes from, you know, the sun. And, of course, the poisons in the sunscreen are one of the main reasons people are getting cancer to begin with. So I know that... Yes.
Yeah, exactly. He had about...
And he was, I counted, he was outside a lot. He was slathering.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead.
Yes, he works outside a lot because on his side job is timber framing, so he's out in the sun. But you're exactly right. That's what they said. You need to make sure you keep coated with sunscreen. But he had 25 lesions all above the belt line, ranging from the upper back to upper chest, shoulder area, and then he had one really bad one on his neck, which is all gone now. It's wonderful. It's
mm-hmm.
the first time he's been able to shave under his jaw and get that area. He hasn't been able to do that for 9 years.
Wow.
So, but that's exactly what they said. They would lather up with sunscreen. And it's funny because the nagging ones that were on his neck and back always got worse. You know, the area that was exposed on his outside of his T-shirt, they would always get worse in the summer because that's when he was wearing the sunscreen. I mean, they would just start to open up, get soft, and then they would ooze. So he has spent a decade with Band-Aids and little pieces of tape all over him. You know, I said, this is crazy, Mike. You've got to do something. And so now they are, I would say 23 out of 25 look beautiful. And we have a couple we're watching. They're just still a little pink so far, but nothing like they were. And so he's really amazed, you know. I don't think he really thought at first, well, I don't know if this is going to help, but... Oh, yeah, he's definitely, he knows now that this is the route to go.
And he's still going through the detoxes, so he will get there. And, of course, yeah. One of the most important things that I do with my clients, it's not just a matter of making them a protocol. I also tell them what not to do, you know, the poisons you need to have to avoid. It's like an educational seminar as well. And that's, mm-hmm. I spend so much time doing this because... People have to learn these things. They've been lied to about everything.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, all our lives. It's amazing, though. I mean, I think when people are young, you really do have a gut feeling about what's good and what's bad for you. Say, for instance, when my daughter was born 27 years ago, I never had to tell anybody or tell anybody that, hey, vaccines are bad for you. I know that. I never had my child vaccinated because I just always knew that deep down inside, there's nothing good in these shots. This baby doesn't need to have these vaccines. And she was a very healthy child. You know, she didn't have any of these problems. And I only had her in school the early part of her life, and then I took her out after third grade and homeschooled her. But luckily back then, I didn't have any problems. When people said, well, you know, she's not vaccinated, and I would just say to them, well, if that's a problem and everybody else is vaccinated, then what are you worried about? I should be.
Exactly.
If all the kids in school have got their vaccinations, then I guess mine's the one at risk, so what's the problem?
Right, and let me just highlight that. Let me just highlight that, Kim, because that is the most important comeback for these idiots who continue to... If vaccinations work, then how could your child possibly be harmed by my unvaccinated child?
Yeah, that's all I ever had to say. And they would just be quiet and go on, and I never had a problem, but I know it's different now. People are more dogmatic than they are, and I would say to people, well, then why don't you even have your kids in school?
You know, right.
Everybody's got the excuse, well, I don't know if I can do it. I said, look, I'm an undegreed human. I never went to college. In fact, I dropped out of high school. And, you know, people say, well, do you regret that? And I say, well, I only regret not dropping out sooner because there was really nothing that I learned that was relevant to truth or life.
Right.
But, It was actually, you just have to love your child enough to want to do it. I mean, the basic things are reading, writing, learning truth, having common sense, and applying that to your life. Because you get nothing in school but indoctrination. That's it.
Yeah, actually, one of my clients started homeschooling her teenage children, and she also didn't feel confident. But there's also homeschooling groups. There's things on the internet, but I thought it was quite hilarious that basically she concentrates on reading, writing, simple math, and then the children listen to my radio shows, and that's where they're getting their education.
Well, absolutely. That's
and they'll know more than anybody in school.
Yeah, well, that's the way mine was. I even had a lady who was going for a PhD who interviewed my daughter and did one of her little theses on homeschooled children, because Bryn was always so conversant and so curious and so bright. And I always had her do that yearly California achievement test just to prove to people that, yes, she is learning, yes, she knows what she needs to know, and she always placed in the top 5 percentile, the top 5, every time. And it took her no time to do the test.
The homeschooled children always do very well, and one of the main reasons is because almost none of them are vaccine damaged, so they don't have problems with their brain, and of course, these are the parents that are more likely to be eating organically and all the rest of it, yes.
Yep. So, but I hate to hear parents make the excuse as well, I have to work, and what am I going to do, and like, hey, wait a minute. I gave up everything, but yet I gave up nothing. I gave up having a two-car family. We lived in an 800-square-foot house. Life was very simple. I chose to stay home. I chose to do that because loving my daughter meant more to me than having the second car, you know, the job to work for it, the vacation every year, and all the image and the things that went along with it. But yet we didn't want for anything.
Not only that. See, you are a real mom, okay? I get so disgusted with these parents. I'm like, why are you even having children in the first place? Especially the ones who are sending their children to daycare, a place where the pedophiles love to hang out at daycare because the children can't talk. They have to get vaccinated to go there. They're spraying these places with pesticides. They're feeding them garbage. Why are you sending your children to daycare, and why are you having children if that's what you want to do?
That's right. I mean, if you like children and you have the propensity to do that evil with them, that only makes sense. Where are you going to get your job at with kids?
Exactly. Exactly.
It's just ridiculous. And you can do with that. I know it's hard times, but you just live small, you know. Spend more of your money on the food you eat and less on the running around. It's just total insanity. And my cousin Chris up in Pennsylvania, she has had her baby naturally, never had it vaccinated. She'll be 10 years old and has never so much as had a drop of Tylenol. Whenever she gets a runny nose, she does homeopathic. This little girl, 10 years old, homeschooled, and just, you know, a bundle of energy. And two, these kids are not overweight.
Right. Because vaccine damage also, that's what's behind the obesity epidemic, as well as the aspartame and the MSG. Like I always say, it's the big picture. But in fact, there's parts of the brain that can be damaged that cause the children to become very, you know, voracious and eating all the time.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, when Mike started your protocol at the end of March, and, you know, you have to keep in mind he's a bodybuilder, so he's got a lot of muscle mass. He was like 202 pounds, and now he weighs 189, and he really has to eat a lot of food in order to keep his weight on, which we're trying to deal with now, because, you know, his big concern is he doesn't want to lose his muscle mass. You know, I guess that's just the guy thing, but it's just from giving up the food, the canned foods, the things that had your high fructose, and all the stuff that's hidden in the natural flavors, which I don't even know what's in there, because who knows? It's not written down. And then
right. All
your colorings, and because, you know, basically we had a healthy diet as far as food content, but he just wasn't eating everything organically. You know,
exactly.
And two, the meat, they're so pumped up, everything that you buy, unless you, you know, have your own cow or your own cattle or your own chickens. So that's the secret to weight loss right there, is just eat organically and eat food without labels.
You know, exactly.
Your vegetables, your nuts, your seeds, your sprouts. You can eat them all day long and the weight just comes right off. And it's amazing.
Exactly.
It's so good to see.
And
Mike,
of course,
now,
drinking lots of good water too.
Oh yeah, lots of it. Yeah, like you said, do half your body weight in water, which you pretty much always did. You know, I needed a little help there, so I'm back up to doing half my body weight. And it does. It creates a lot of energy and cleans you out and keeps you well hydrated.
Exactly.
But it's so good to see Mike finally. He really caught the natural bug.
Good.
Like I said, a lot of times we wives, we have to drag our husbands into things, which really baffles me, because I don't know why we have to do that, but sometimes we do.
Well, that's a bug we need to make go viral. And let me just say, even worse are families that have medical people in their families. These are the toughest people, you know, in order to, you know, not be tortured and basically made fun of or whatever because they decide to, you know, go natural. You know, those people go through a lot of stuff. So, thank you.
That's our family. Our family was nothing but nurses and people who work. My father was a chemist for Wyeth Laboratories.
Uh-oh.
My sister works at a pharmaceutical company. She works for Xenocor. And, you know, it's insane. So it is. You just have to sometimes detach yourself. I had to do a lot of detaching from relatives because, you know, they always want a third degree. Why do you know? Why do you want to do it this way? And aren't you afraid of this happening? And, you know, all the negatives are thrown out at you. But you really just have to detach because you I think everybody knows in their gut that your body is organic. So why would you even want to put anything into your body if it isn't organic?
Right. And what did you? What do these medical minions have to say now that he's doing so well? I suppose there's no comment, right?
Well, like I said, we haven't been back. Since he had his test done, we haven't been back. Because
no, I mean your family. Your family medical.
Oh, family?
Yeah.
Oh, well, you know, I had one say, well, it's nice you have so much faith in this. I said, no, faith doesn't have anything to do with it. You know, I said faith, trust, hope, and belief are really not words in my vocabulary because all they do is offer empty promises based on something we never know for sure.
Right.
But this you know for sure. So it has nothing to do with hope or belief. It's a matter of you know what you need to put in the car to make it run. You know what you need to do to keep something on a pure level. So why would you do anything but that?
Exactly.
It doesn't make physical sense.
So
I want to heal yourself from disease because disease is a gift given to man by tampering, and that's all. And that's what people have a hard time seeing. It doesn't just happen. It doesn't just jump on you when you're walking down the street one day, and then you go home and you have cancer when you wake up the next morning. It's a gift given by mankind in his evil tampering. So we have to learn how to get outside of that system and do what's best for ourselves. And
right.
Then the mind starts to open up to everything else.
Exactly.
So it's amazing, you know, on all levels. But your health being the most important, you can't facilitate your brain to do anything if your body isn't healthy. And that's
exactly. And that's what I explained in my first diagram, the big picture, that you get disease symptoms after a number of assaults, and that's your body's way of saying, hello, you're doing the wrong thing. And that's why I'm so passionate about getting people to get healthy first, because like you said, if the brain's not working, you will not be able to face reality as to everything else that's going on. You know, you're going to take a psych drug or whatever, you know, let me just take an escape route. I don't want to see this.
That's right. You just stay confounded and confused, and therefore you live in chaos.
Exactly.
You're on your deathbed, and that, you know, and that's how you're checking out. Isn't that a nice life? Checking out with nothing but fear and regret because you didn't do the things that you needed to do. And I know some people didn't know it, but a lot of people do. And you know the story about my mother with the pancreatic cancer. I watched a good woman suffer terribly. And it was so unnecessary because she had pancreatic cancer when she was 79, and she didn't make it 3 months, and I didn't want her to have...
Because they killed her. They killed her.
They killed her. From the day... She went into surgery, massing, walking, eating, totally independent. After surgery, it traumatized her body so bad, she never had one day... In fact, her last shower was the night before surgery because she could never stand up to give herself a bath. She had one problem after another. It was everything from low magnesium levels to gout in her foot to heart problems. It was just one thing after another. We were in and out of the hospital all the time. She was in there 2 months straight after the surgery, and then the last month we were in and out and in and out until I watched her go from 130 pounds down to 90.
And well, she became...
Because she looked at me with her, you know, sad eyes, and she said, you were right, I wish I had never had this. And I said, well...
Right.
I know, Mom.
Well, unfortunately, that's one reason I try to warn people about surgery, because once you've gone under the knife, you know, there's no going back. But, At least she was an example to you of what they do. So that was her gift. It was part of the wake-up process. And unfortunately, she suffered greatly, but she was an excellent customer for the medical devils.
Oh, I can't even imagine how much revenue that brought into them.
Yes.
But, you know, the horrible part is, why would a surgeon even do surgery on someone 79 with pancreatic cancer, knowing full well that he said she may have 2 to 3 months to live, when you know that after major surgery, because she had the Whipple done on her, I guess you can tell people what that is, but, you know, when you know that it's going to take a person almost 80 a month to recover from that, and then what?
Because that's what surgeons do.
Yeah.
That's what surgeons do. If you go to a surgeon, they're going to do surgery because that's what they do. Okay, I hear the music. I want to thank you so much for calling in, Kim, and sharing that information with the listeners. Give Mike my regards, and we'll be in touch. Okay, folks, we'll be back. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
We'll be back after these messages. I got a few more things to cover. Stay tuned. We're back with the last segment of What's Ailing America, where our answer today has been dangerous diagnostic tests. We have a caller on the line. Are you there, caller?
Yes.
Hello? Go ahead.
Very good. 704?
Yes.
Yeah, this is Frank. Yeah. I've enjoyed listening to your show today. I was trying to hold off calling for a while. I it interested me. Last week I had mentioned that John Stewart's real name was not John Stewart, and you were kind of taken aback by that. I was surprised. I was assuming when I stated that you knew that.
What was the name again? What was the name again? I want to write that down.
I'm sure you can look it up pretty quick on the internet. I'm pretty sure it's Leibowitz. I don't have it right in front of me, but I'm pretty sure it's Leibowitz. And his brother of the same name is also some type of a key figure in the Wall Street apparatus as far as controlling the stock market, that type of thing.
Okay, that figure.
Now, are you familiar with Jacob Rubenstein?
No.
Okay, well, I'm sure everybody's familiar with Jack Ruby.
Yes.
He's the man that shot Oswald, the alleged lone gunman, assassin of JFK. His name, most Americans would never know it if they heard his real name. It's Jacob Rubenstein.
Okay.
But there's a lot
Okay, I'm going to ask you to please, I'm going to be doing a show with John Kaminsky tomorrow on These Changing Times, and we're going to be covering the Zionist psychopaths. That's a little off topic for today's show, and I had a couple other things I wanted to mention. So that would be a great contribution for tomorrow, but thank you for calling.
Okay.
I want to get back to the information I was giving about dangerous diagnostic tests. I got a couple other things I wanted to go through, which I will cover quickly. At a certain age, people are advised to have a colonoscopy. One of the possible side effects of that procedure is perforation of the colon, a life-threatening side effect which requires emergency abdominal surgery. However, one of the dangers that patients are never warned about is the substance used to clean the scopes. Since the scopes cannot be autoclaved, i.e. steam cleaned, due to the fiber optics in them, a chemical called Cidex is used, C-I-D-E-X. The Cidex itself can cause multiple problems, and you could do, search on that on the internet, Cidex-side effects, and read for yourself. However, even worse is what can happen if the scopes are not left in this toxic poison long enough. A few years ago in Long Island, a colonoscopy clinic, which was not properly cleaning their scopes, caused 16 people to become infected with hepatitis B. So imagine what you imagine hearing you have no polyps, but you do have a potentially life-threatening infection resulting from the test itself. And now let's go to the stuff that they give you to clean out your GI tract, which Kim was addressing. It's called Go Lightly, and this is actually propylene glycol along with potassium chloride, sodium bicarb, sodium chloride, sodium sulfate. And this has side effects including vomiting, hypotension, dyspnea, dehydration, abdominal pain, nausea, constipation, pain, and acute renal failure. So once again, they're giving you something to clean you out, but it's going to dehydrate you to the point that you can actually get renal failure from this as well. What else is propylene glycol used in? Antifreeze, brake and hydraulic fluid, de-icer, paints and coatings, floor wax, laundry detergents, pet food, tobacco, cosmetics, toothpaste, shampoos, deodorants, lotions, etc. So you really need to check your labels once again, and if you've got antifreeze in any of your products, especially if they're giving you antifreeze to drink before your GI procedure, you know, I suggest that you possibly call me for a consult instead, because this is a toxic poison. And also I learned when I was researching this, they're now doing research to find new clinical uses for propylene glycol. They're going to use it as a vascular agent, lymphatic agent, general tumor imaging agent, by exploiting the enhanced permeability and retention effect of tumors. They also want to use it for alleged cancer prevention, but they haven't tested that yet in clinical trials. I mean, the idea of giving you this toxic poison to prevent cancer. This is what they always do. We're going to prevent cancer by giving you poison. We're going to treat cancer by giving you poison, instead of looking at the reason why you got the cancer in the first place. They're also doing research on the use of this substance to mask antigens on red blood cells, which is really scary because, you know, that's going to let whatever these antigens are, which could be viruses and things of that nature, hide in your system and not even be picked up by your immune system. They're also doing research to use it in the field of gene therapy. Uh-oh, sounds kind of scary. Okay, so the last thing I wanted to get to was another commonly used contrast agent for x-ray studies, which is barium, which Kim had mentioned. This is a substance they give you to drink or infuse by enema to study the GI tract. When I was an x-ray technician before I went to medical school, we were never told about any side effects of barium. I had an upper GI series myself when I was in college, and I realized that the barium becomes like plaster of Paris in the colon. It is very hard to expel, and in x-raying elderly people especially, when you do a small bowel follow-through, after they do the fluoroscopy of the upper GI tract and take pictures of your stomach with the barium, they do x-rays of your abdomen every couple of hours as they're waiting for the barium to go through to see how your small bowel is handling the barium. And, of course, in elderly people, it can take days. So while the barium is basically, you know, turning into plaster of Paris in your colon, of course, you're not going to be absorbing any food. So that's just one problem. one of the most shocking things is I monitor television on a regular basis to see what the sheep are being fed. One of the shows I try to catch on a regular basis is this Eastern Star minion, Nancy Grace, who's on the HLN network. She's one of the people that's said on the air a few times how 800,000 children are going missing every year just in the United States alone. Of course, never focusing on that, instead just focusing on, you know, various children that are being murdered by non-Masons, you know, to bring trauma to the people and to pretend like she's actually doing something. But on August 8th, she had a story involving an infectious disease doctor named Hal Hill in Tennessee who was accused of poisoning his wife by putting barium in her coffee. Now, this was a moment for me because I was thinking to myself, now, wait a minute. How much barium can he be putting in her coffee? When we do x-ray studies on people, they're drinking huge glasses of barium for the x-ray study. But somehow that's not poisoning the person. Well, yet this doctor putting barium in his wife's coffee was found to be poisoning her. She ended up getting surgery, and she had all kinds of tests until one day she caught her dear hubby, the medical devil she lived with, putting barium in her coffee, and she called the police, and they came and got the coffee, and sure enough, they found barium in it. And now he's going through the legal system. Nancy reported how barium is a toxic heavy metal like strontium and mercury, which is also used in rat poison. The toxic dose she reported was 7 micrograms per milliliter. And of course, when I was an x-ray tech and mixing up barium solutions for patients in my x-ray days, there was never any mention of a toxic dose. Why not? So I once again encourage you to put into your search engine, I like StartPage because they don't keep track of where you go on the internet, just put barium, B-A-R-I-U-M, hyphen side effects, and read for yourself. There's many pages that you can access and find out the toxicities of barium. So what I would do if I was you people is I would be doing this for any drug, any contrast agent, any procedure that any white coat suggests that you do. if you value your life. This can actually save your life. And, you know, print out those documents and bring it into the white coat and ask them some hard questions and see how fast they run to the bathroom. Because if you believe that you're getting informed consent when you go to these people, if they told you the truth, you would never get any of their treatments. You would never take any of their drugs. So they lie. They lie through their teeth because this is the only way that they can get customers. Although, of course, now, thanks to Obamacare, and if you're foolish enough to get insurance, as they're going to try to mandate everybody do, in my case, I will never get insurance. I will pay the fee, the extortion fee, the fine, whatever it may be, because you will see they're going to mandate that you get mammograms, that you get colonoscopies, that you get vaccines. They're going to mandate you do these things to keep your insurance. That's how they roll, folks. So on that note, I would like to thank you for listeners. Please tell others about the show. And remember, I'm starting on RBN tomorrow from 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time, Studio B. And on my Beef Changing Time show tomorrow, my guest will be John Kaminsky. We will be talking about the psychopaths causing all these problems. Thank you for listening, and stay alive here in hell. Bye-bye.
At OrionTalkRadio.com, you could say that we're all talk.
Now, the question is, was it the Pat conspiracy that the official story would have us believe that he's 90?